Hey, this is Achan, and I love me some End of the Show music news.
Shell Show, the music movement that's sweeping the nation. And Kai is on vacation. And
hi. No, I'm not. I'm right here. And I'm sexy and I'm like the jelly.
And with me, special guest, blogger to the stars.
What, where?
Resident editor-in-chief of EnterTheShell.com. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages.
It's, no, I don't know about all ages.
No, not all ages.
Maybe I may be appropriate for definitely 21 and over. I don't know about 18 and over, but I don't know. Not all ages. I'm sorry.
So, yeah, Sarah, that's exactly who we have. Congratulations.
Yay. Yes, I'm here, Turtle. I'm here and I'm semi-queer.
For once, this is actually the first time of you actually being in the studios.
I know. I've never been in here before, and it looks really nice. I mean, aside from all these naked pictures of men all over the wall, Turtle, I don't know what I don't know what you were going for, going there with your feng shui
and everything. Like, and what's funny too is, like, I'm not the biggest Kanye West fan. He's okay. He's okay, but you are. And what was cool is, like, you were like, we're gonna play Kanye, and I was like, no, we're not. And then you just took everything away. You're like, no, we're playing Kanye. Yes. So we played Kanye because of our special guest.
That was actually like a remix song of Kanye by one of my favorite bands called Rat Tat Tat. So those two awesome musical, I guess, artists or whatever, they got together and they came out with a really good song. I think so, anyway.
Studio Audience is finally like, yay, Sarah's here.
Yeah.
One more Studio Audience.
Oh, why, thank you. Sit down, all of you, now, bitches.
So the one thing about you is that you're a real Kanye West fan.
Mm-hmm.
And for people that don't know what a real Kanye West fan is, let me tell you, because it seems that in the Kanye West camp, it's very, you know, you're either in one of three groups. You're in the obsessed with Kanye group, or you hate Kanye. Mm-hmm. And then I like to call it the happy medium, the real fans.
Uh-huh.
which they understand Kanye, they get him. Mm-hmm. And when he's an idiot, they'll be like, yeah, he's a fucking idiot. and you're always willing to call him out.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, we had when that whole, you know what we're gonna talk about, the Taylor Swift thing, when that first happened, I was the first one to say, yeah, he shouldn't have done that. That was a real dick move. But he's a genius. Because, you know what? He knows what to do to promote himself. And you know what? Taylor Swift can't deny it. She got a buttload of publicity, too. And all of her publicity was, you know, good, wholesome, clean publicity for her. So, you know, Kanye got, on the surface, it looked like he got, like, the bad end of things. But in reality, people are still talking about him and still talking about that incident.
Now, we weren't we didn't put up a show or anything when the VMAs happened. I know you saw the VMAs and you did a kind of a reactionary type blog to that. What was your reaction when Kanye West came out with his new song?
Well, obviously there was a boatload of hype, and obviously him being one of my favorite artists of, you know, this time right now, he I was really looking forward to it. You know, I wanted to see, like, I kind of, you know, I bought into the hype, but he came out with this song and it was okay. Like, I was the first one to say, like, that was an all right song. You know, I actually, my first reaction was like, great. The lyrics were something like, let's give a toast to the assholes and the douchebags and whatever. And it was kind of like, I felt like he was addressing the whole situation again and kind of bringing the attention to himself. And I was like, man, like, let's just get over it. Like, I was kind of upset that he went that route and kind of made it seemed like he was making kind of like an apologetic type thing. But it was an all right song. I heard
this, I liked it.
It was OK. I really liked the guy. I think his name is Pusha T, who was rapping. And I really like him. But
people like that. Yeah. People like him
apparently. But yeah, it was an okay song, but I actually heard a portion of the studio version, and I think it sounds a lot better. Like, I don't know, I think maybe it was the atmosphere, and there's not a whole lot of hype with the studio version. You know, the VMAs, there's a whole different thing going on, so I don't know, it was all right.
Now, I did see that Kanye is just, because during the VMAs, he had on some ballerinas, and I did notice that he's sticking with that theme in his new album that's coming out. I know he has like some ballerinas, I think, traveling with him for his performances and stuff like that. Do you think that Kanye West always tries to push boundaries, and he not necessarily pushes, musically, but also visually? You know, I mean, when was the last time somebody used a ballerina?
I don't know. That's a good question, Turtle. I have no idea. But yeah, I mean, I agree. He's very hard on himself to become this great artist. And he, you know, he obviously, he has that ego, and he builds himself up to live up to his own hype. So he's always trying to push boundaries and always trying to, you know, do his thing. That's Kanye for you, I guess.
What I know, he's releasing a few songs, a few tracks from his, what is it, his Twitter, because you follow him on Twitter, right?
Yes. That's probably, I don't know, following Kanye on Twitter is like a love-hate relationship, because he comes up with the most random things. And like just the other day, he was talking about how girls are putting on like weird colors of lipstick and how it turns them off, and like, I don't know, he just went on this whole rant about lipstick. And but then other times he just goes on, like when, I don't know if I think it was right before the VMAs, he apologized to Taylor Swift on his Twitter and went on this rant that lasted like an hour, and that was kind of annoying. So, but anyway, yeah, at any rate, he has this thing called Good Fridays, which is kind of a play on his, I guess it's like their record company or like a group that, it's like him and Common and John Legend and Kid Cudi and a bunch of them. It's an acronym for Getting Out Our Dreams. So I don't know, I think it's kind of a play on that. And so anyway, on Good Fridays, he releases either a remix or a new original song that he is working on, or that he is, collaborating with all these artists. He's had that artist I just mentioned, Pusha T. He's had Jay-Z, Kid Cudi, my new and latest obsession, Nicki Minaj. Who else has he had? He's had a bunch of people. It's really great. I mean, he's released, I think, about 7 or 8 songs, and three of them are really strong. His last couple of songs I haven't been a fan of because they're kind of slow and like, ugh. But overall, they're pretty all right. It's kind of a cool thing that he's doing.
Let's talk about No More Kanye. How about that?
I can go on for days, Turtle. You're the one who got me started, so.
I know. I was like, okay, is this girl going to be done with Kanye or not?
No.
Let's talk about some music news. By the way, we have such a big show for you today. Let me just get that out of the way. We went to The Smell, and we ran into, well, actually, we didn't run into, we actually met up with TV Buddhas. You may recognize TV Buddhas. We gave out a song of theirs for, as a free download.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to go check them out, and we interviewed them. And by we being me, I interviewed them. So we're going to have that. We have a great, great band on. And I'm real excited to have the Telephones. They're going to be in with us. And you're going to get to actually interview. I almost called you Kai.
Yes, you halfway did call me Kai.
I was like, Kai. Oh, I caught myself. You're actually going to be sitting down and helping me interview these bands. So that's going to be really cool.
Right. I'm excited.
Yeah. So we have two bands on. Mm-hmm. And then we have special guest Sarah in the house. So much show. So much mm-hmm. show. So little time. Do you think Kanye will be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Real quick. I know,
you're going to get me started again. I don't know. That's a toughie. Probably. I don't know. I want to say yes. I mean, I genuinely believe that he creates really great music. I mean, he's a great writer, a great, producer. So, I mean, I think he definitely could be, but there's just so much drama surrounding him all the time. Like, I think his head would explode because of how big it would get. Because he'd be getting bougie, he'd be getting big-headed.
The new class of rock and roll nominees are out, and the Beastie Boys,
mm-hmm.
Neil Diamond, Alice Cooper.
The Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
But they're hip-hop. Why are they in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Turtle?
Well, here's the thing. They were hip-hop, but that was kind of an evolution
mm-hmm.
to that. When they started out, they were, really punk, actually.
Really?
Yeah, not even rock and roll.
Did they release any albums like that when they were in their punk stage?
Yeah. A few, actually. Mm-hmm. A lot of underground tapes and stuff like that. And then, of course, you have License to Ill and all those Paul's Boutique and stuff like that. And then they started evolving into being, a hip-hop band. I don't even know if they're a hip-hop band.
Yeah, I don't know what they're...
There's something. I'm excited about Neil Diamond being in there because I'm huge fan.
You would be. You would.
I know. Alice Cooper's nominated, which is really great. He was kind of the first, not necessarily the first. I know I said that too presumptuously, maybe. Right? Did I use that right?
I think you meant to, but your sentence structure was all wrong.
Yeah, it was completely wrong.
Yeah, you shouldn't speak when you're around a writer, an editor.
Yeah. He was actually the first to start incorporating this theater, mm-hmm. and create this alter ego, this persona of this really spooky, scary guy with music.
Mm-hmm.
Donovan, I don't know who Donovan is.
Isn't he some awesome soccer player on some really great LA team?
No. We have Tom Waits. We have LL Cool J, who was nominated last year but didn't get the nod. Dr. John, the Jake Giles Band, and then Darlene Love, Donna Summer, and Chuck Willis, Joe Text, and Laura Nyro. Now, for these, I know Laura Nyro, she was a songwriter, and she was nominated last year as well.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't get nominated, obviously. I hope she gets in this year. If you ever have the chance to look her up, you'll be quite surprised on how much... She's pretty badass.
Yeah. What do you know off the top of your head? What songwriting credits?
You know what? You would think I would I would have looked, but I was like, nah. I'm like, I'll remember. No.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, it's kind of the same case with, I think I did a covers review for with Carole King a few months ago, and then I didn't even realize that she's a huge songwriter. For not only was she, an artist herself, but she wrote tons of songs for a bunch of people, and... I just did one, and I literally cannot think of the titles either. So there you go.
There you go.
We're both unprepared.
Now, here's the thing. Do you think that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame still carries the same merit as it used to? It used to be kind of a prestigious thing. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if it's so much of a prestige thing rather than, hey, we're just going to put you in a room with a bunch of cool people.
Yeah, it seems as though it's kind of it's turned into maybe a popularity contest or something that just recognizes longevity as opposed to just making good music. I mean, I know that they kind of go hand in hand, you know. I mean, obviously, if you're making good music, you're going to be around for a while. But I don't know. I just feel like sometimes it's like, really? That band? I don't even remember. I don't know.
Does it for you? For me, it doesn't really put a lot of weight on it when they're like, oh my God, I have to go see this band. They're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Like, you know, okay.
So and is everyone and their mother.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, you know what? I'm trying to get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't think that carries, like I said, as much weight. Does it carry any weight?
Not really. I mean, like I said, it doesn't seem to, it's just kind of, I don't know, it doesn't really carry that weight, like you're saying, you know. I mean, it's just kind of like, oh, you served your 15 years in the music industry, here you go, here's your nomination, and then like in another 5 years you'll actually get inducted after being nominated 5 years in a row, you know. So I don't know, I don't really think it matters anymore.
It's kind of almost, you know, I almost feel it's like, you know, like in the VMAs or, you know, the Golden Globes, when they honor these like people that have been deceased, and it's like,
I love those. It sounds really morbid, but I really like enjoy watching those in memoriam little montages.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, here's a guy that was the guy that held all the reels of film.
But where would you be without all those reels of film being held? Really, Turtle, think about it. They'd be like on the floor in some like dark room.
Yeah, so I'm thinking like, damn, I need to get me some cush job like that. Maybe I'll get like a Golden Globe or an Oscar or something like that.
Maybe, possibly.
I don't know. But I'll tell you what we're going to do. We are going to hear Libertine. We have this the telephones. They're going to be on with us next. We're going to line them up right now. We're going to get our producers to start doing that. But we're going to give you a little appetite. Yeah, we're going to give you a little appetite with Libertine. I think you're going to like this band if you have never heard of them. They're from New York, Brooklyn to be precise. So sit back and enjoy the ride. And we'll be back with them right here on the end of the show. That song that you heard was Libertine, and with us is the lead singer of the Telephones. We got Jesse on the phone. How's it going, Jesse?
I'm great. What's up?
Nothing much, man. That song, Libertine, that's off of Volume 1, which if you go on Enter the Shell, you can purchase that fine album there. Let's talk a little bit about the song Libertine. It's kind of a throwback to an old American kind of rock style. How have people been identifying with that song?
It's been going over great. It's kind of like we call it our mission statement for the band. It's like everything we dig about music, we put into that track.
So how have you worked to cultivate your ability for writing soulful, witty, southern inflected indie rock? You know, you guys are on the East Coast. How do you get those influences and all that?
Oh, well, first of all, thank you for calling me witty. that's the first I've heard that in a long time.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, I don't know. I grew up listening to the blues and great classic rock bands like Led Zeppelin and T-Rex and all that good stuff. So I'm steeped in it. I know it's not really my region or in my background, but I love that stuff, and I feel like that's what makes music authentic. Is just are you showing love for it? And if that comes through, then I think that's what makes it good and what makes it authentic.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Like, I mean, you can always tell when you're listening to a band, and you can just tell that they have a real kind of feel for what they're what they're doing with themselves and with their music. So yeah, you guys have been together since the Telephones have been together since like 2002, right? And but you're not touring until now. What was the reasoning behind that?
Well, I guess the short version of the story is it took us a long time to get our act together. You know, really, the band started, we were just graduating from school. Bradley, the keyboard player, and I were just getting out of college together. And he had a connection to sneak us into Electric Lady Studios, which is like this amazing recording studio that Jimi Hendrix built in the Village. And we were kind of like, oh, crap, we better get a band together and write some songs.
Immediately.
Yeah, like, you know, we didn't have a band, we didn't have songs, we didn't have half of an idea in our heads, but we knew that we didn't want to pass up that opportunity. So we totally asked backwards. That's why we started the band. I would say that we didn't really get serious and start making stuff that we consider to be, you know, good music until maybe 3 years ago or so.
When you were in Jimi Hendrix Studios, were you
was
like...
Was his ghost there?
Yeah, was his ghost there? And secondly, when you were like in the restroom, were you like taking a piss? Were you like, I wonder if Jimi Hendrix like took a dump or anything here?
Well, I don't know if I can specifically relate it to any like urination stories. It's not just a building where cool stuff happened. It's very apparent that legends have been through that place. I mean, Stevie Wonder has touched the keyboards. Jimmy and all of his tripping friends painted murals all over the walls. The console in Studio A is freaking purple, dude. So it's not just like a regular corporate studio that like, oh yeah, Jimmy once owned this place. It's very much a part of that history, and it's full of benevolent ghosts for sure.
We should take a field trip there.
Yeah, we should. Jesse, our new best friend, will take us there. Yeah. I love it. So let's do this. Let's take another bite of the Telephones, and we're going to listen to the song Just the Cure. More with Jesse from the Telephones right here on the Enter the Shell Show. We're back here on the Enter the Shell Show with Jesse from the Telephones. So tell me, why do you call yourselves a band of professional alcoholics? I consider myself to be not necessarily a professional alcoholic. Maybe I'm semi-pro, but why would you guys consider yourselves professional? And how do you get to that status?
Of professional alcoholic?
Yeah.
I think that all stems from it's like the question that we can never answer is what genre is the band? So then we just started to think, well, who are we really playing for? And what we always wanted to be was like that one band in the dive bar that totally kicks ass. So what is the band? Well, we're that band. We're the band for professional drinkers in the real bar. So that's why we say that.
That sounds like a hoot.
It's a band to listen to when you're drinking. For
yeah,
real.
Those bands are always the greatest when you have that like little buzz going. So you guys invented a new word, fatigory. So that's supposed to mean like like a category of fat people. So I'm just wondering, has Webster Dictionary contacted you about this new word?
Not Not yet. I'm waiting for my call and my check anyway.
And more importantly, who is in the category? And we want names, Jesse.
Immediately.
Right now.
You know, you're referring to a post on our blog, and I'm ashamed to admit I don't remember what the context was for that. I don't remember who was in the category.
Well, I guess we'll have to direct our listeners to go to your page and check that out and find out for themselves.
Yeah, you can find that on thetelephones.org. You'll find a bunch of blogs. Are you primarily the blog writer there?
Yeah, it's mostly me. I'd say the blog is 90% me with a sprinkling of the other folks.
Do you find more and more that you writing blogs is helping your writing ability?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say that writing the blog is helping me have fun with communicating with the listeners and keeping the website up to date and all that. But I don't know if it helps with the songwriting. That seems to come and go in waves, to be honest.
Well, let's do this. I want to hear. I'm like, 'cause it's my show, so I get to do what I want. we're gonna hear a sitcom writer, because I really like the way you write in this one, and you know, since we're talking about writing and whatnot, I think that'll be a good way to kind of bridge those two together. So here's sitcom writer. We'll have more with Jesse from the Telephones right after this, right here on the End of the Shell Show.
Most of the time, it just sits right down and writes. It's making a run until he makes things right. He's up on the climb and he likes to get high. He's doing a crime, doing everything but fight. Every song is a comeback, every episode is a package act. Laughing along with the laugh track until he
It is the End of the Shell Show. With me, we have Sarah, the editor-in-chief from the blogs, and on the phone, Jesse from the Telephones. So, Volume 1. Did you feel... Volume 1 was like a very bold statement, kind of a new direction for you guys. Do you think Volume 2 will be different from that, or are you guys going to try to do kind of the same thing?
Well, volume 2 is going to be a little different just because of the song selection. It's going to be a little more oddball, a little more of an exploration for us of a couple of different styles. But the idea is the same, which is we're doing all the production ourselves. We're recording a lot of it in our own apartments and rehearsal space. So the idea was, instead of taking a really long time to put together a full length, we'll try and push out 4 or 5 songs every year. And then eventually, Dr. Dre will come along and remix them all into a hit record.
That sounds amazing. Everything he touches is gold. Yeah. So when writing your albums and you're writing your tracks and you're writing your songs, do you create the album around the single songs, or do you focus on the album as a whole?
Our process is pretty organic. Usually I start the songs, but my writing is just an idea for lyrics and maybe a chord progression. And then I'll bring it into the room and we'll all sort of kind of workshop them together until it has a form. Sometimes even our bass player Anton is the one who comes in with the original idea for what the music will sound like. So we kind of write them together, they evolve together, And for making these EPs, really we just take whichever songs have developed to the point where we think, oh yeah, we're ready to put that down, and then we grab those. So we're not really making conscious choices about what would make the best group of songs. It's really kind of a snapshot of what the band sounds best on right now.
Has there ever been for lack of a better term, but kind of a disappointment in one of your songs that you thought would fit the album, but you know you put it in and it just didn't work?
I don't know if I'd say I've ever been disappointed with the way something fit on an album. I've definitely been disappointed with the way songs have ended up after the recording process is done. You know, when I was a little younger, I think there's some stuff that I would let slide, whereas now I'd be much more willing to say, let's put that back on the shelf and let it age a little bit.
Let it age. Maybe when you come back to it, then you just change it up a little bit, or you finally understand the progress in that song and where you want it to go type deal.
Well, when you're in the creative process, you have to be willing to put blinders on and just follow your instincts down whatever path they might be leading you. But then when that's done, you have to be willing to say, you know what, I did that and that's cool, but it sucks. So I'm leaving that and going on to something else.
Now, New York, here's the thing about New York. You have tons of people packed into this little, you know, island, not necessarily island, but just into all these places. There's tons of bands. What's going to be the key element for you guys? What differentiates, I can't even say that word. What differentiates yourself from all the different bands that are out there?
Well, that's a good question. You know, New York is like the toughest place to play music just because we're so saturated with bands. But it's also the most rewarding place to play because people expect good music. They feel like they deserve it. They know what they're listening to. And when you can impress a New York crowd, you know you've really done something. So I guess what sets us apart is just that, you know, we feel like we deliver a live sound that just totally kicks ass, especially in the places that we play, the smaller venues, the 100, 200 seaters. You know, we feel like we're bringing the rock, man.
Lastly, you do have a Pandora channel, and we will put that link on this show on enterthesheld.com. How do you go about, did you get approached from Pandora, or do you have to upload your music to that, or do they contact you about that, or just tell me about that process?
It wasn't very complicated, but it did take a long time. I think it was like 3 months for our music to get approved. I initiated it. I applied. I think they're connected somehow with the Amazon vendor program. It was just something we felt like, we should be on Pandora. So we made it happen. We made a few calls and uploaded the tracks, and eventually it got approved. And I gotta say, like, it was so interesting. We got on Pandora finally after that wait, and I was listening to the station, and I was thinking to myself, you know, this sucks. These bands aren't like us. I don't get why this is on the station at all. But then over the past few months, as more people have listened to it and given the thumbs up and thumbs down to tracks, it's evolved into something else. And how cool is that? It's like a radio station just made by people who listen to our music. It's like this is why technology exists. Pretty awesome.
I love it. Do you have it like playing like all over your house, or is that kind of like become your new favorite station?
Yeah, exactly. I play it, you know. I play it for my dog. I play it for my wife. Everyone's super pissed off at me.
I was going to ask, do you get to keep track of all your little thumbs up and your thumbs down and all that?
I do not think we get access to those stats, but that would be super interesting to look at.
That would be interesting. Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of Pandora, and you know, you throw one band in there, and I've been introduced to so much different music that I probably would have never heard of if I hadn't downloaded that little doohickey on my phone.
Yeah, it's amazing, and that's the big attraction for an indie band is, you know, not just giving your fans a treat of, you know, what other bands can I discover, but you're hoping that people will discover you. So I'm curious about whose stations we're popping up on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you can get in contact with Jesse and the Telephones, facebook.com/thetelephones, myspace.com/telephoneland, twitter.com/telephoneland, and thetelephones.org. We'll have all these links posted on the website, as well as links to purchase the Volume 1 and Fight Night at Rodeo Dodo, all that and so much more. Jesse, thank you so much for joining us and being on the End of the Shell show. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you for having me. I love it. You guys have a great show and, you know, support Enter the Shell.
Yeah, I like to hear. All right, we're going to leave off with, what song are we going to, let me thumb through all my collection real quick.
You know what, Turtle? I'm thinking that life is pretty great right now.
It is. And you know what? We should end with that. And at the end of the show, we are going to hear the entire song of Libertine as well. So right now, we're going to give you a little bit of Life is Great. At the end, Libertine, practically my new favorite song for the summer.
We'll give you a taste.
Yeah, Jesse, stay on the line because I want to get some connections to Pandora. Maybe they can give me a thumbs up or thumbs down.
I give you a thumbs down, Turtle.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
All right. I'll put in a good word for you.
Cool. We'll be right back with more of the End of the Shell show. And we are back with the Enter the Shell show. Like I said, the Telephones, really cool band. Check them out. And like I said in the beginning, we went to go also see TV Buddhas.
The TV Buddhas, yeah.
The TV Buddhas. And with us was Richard. And I thought, hey, why not get Richard on the phone right now? How's it going, buddy?
Hey, guys. Hey, Turtle. Hey, Sarah.
What's going on?
So we wanted to talk to you real quick. You went to watch TV Buddhas with us, and it was the first time that you got to be in the room with, I guess, myself and Sarah at the same time to go scout out a band. Were you starstruck with us, or, you know?
I was very starstruck, not by the fans, but by you guys and your amazing work.
Yeah, we kind of exude that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great. Richard, like, you were dope getting us water and
being our little bitch boy.
Yeah.
Hey. I'm here for the team, okay?
Oh, is that what that was? Oh, okay.
Yeah, nonetheless, a very enjoyable show.
It was. I mean, how did you feel, you know, almost potentially, maybe almost being on a list? To get in.
It felt great. We were able to finagle our way in, you know, at the last minute, which was awesome. We didn't have to pay.
Yeah.
That's always great.
Yeah.
And we you guys both know we caught two surprising acts, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. What were they? So, they were Barf Narf or what?
Barf
Fart Dart.
Puke Barf? No, it's fart Barf. Fart Barf.
Fart Barf, yep.
Yeah, they're amazing. I could not stop moving. They're kind of like an electronic outfit kind of thing, and with a full-on drum kit and everything. Yeah, they were really great. And then there was, who was the Favies? Was that the opening band?
I didn't get their name.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't stand out as well to me, though, as Fart Barf and
TV
Buddhas.
Yeah, the first band was all right, but Fart Barf, and yes, we are saying Fart Barf. Yeah. You're hearing
by the
things.
Way.
We're not messing around.
Yeah, neither are they, apparently.
Now, here's the funny thing. Like, we walked in. This is the difference between the blog side and the podcast side of Enter the Shell. We walk in, and immediately, Sarah and Richard go all the way to the front to go check out the bands, and I stay all the way in the back. And you guys are like trying to get me to go, you know, to the front of the stage, and I'm like, no, my ears, they hurt.
Yeah, you're such a wimp. Yeah, me and Richard wanted to get the full on effect of these bands. I mean, like, what better way to experience a band than to experience their live show? It's just like another aspect of their overall awesomeness, you know.
What better way to get a full effect than by making your ears bleed? You
yeah,
know?
Exactly.
Yeah, not my idea of a great time. I was like, I'm gonna chill in the back. That's what I said.
But I did understand your decision, Turtle, because the speakers seemed to be smacking me in the side of the face. It was freaking yeah. loud.
Yeah, and then when Fart Barf came on, mm-hmm. because here's the thing about the smell, they had. Every set change, it was in a different part of the venue.
Yeah, that was really cool. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And imaginative, I guess. Yeah.
So when Fart Barf came on, and by the way, dude, I was trying to look. I wanted to buy a Fart Barf shirt so bad.
I didn't see any either,
unfortunately. Maybe Richard can like buy us one or something. Like
yeah.
that.
He said we have T-shirts and his little robotic voice. I want to get one.
Oh,
I just want a shirt
yeah.
that says Fart Barf on it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So, and they were even louder because you were literally like right next to them when they were playing.
Yeah.
And I was, and you guys were still in front, and I was like, no. No, not gonna do it.
Well, the thing with the first band was that you know, they were on a stage. The thing about the smell is that it's kind of it's more long than it is like, you know, a squarish area, I guess. So it started out in the back. So the back had the stage, and that's where the first band that really didn't stand out to us. They were kind of punkish. I described them as kind of like a more punky, raw The Thermals, if you've ever heard of them. But anyway, they were okay, and then. So they were on the stage in the back, and then when Fart Barf came on, they were just actually like on the floor, kind of in that same room, but just on the floor a little bit further away. And yeah, Richard and I were up close and personal. You know, we're kind of keen to that electronic.
You are such the whore.
I am
for electronics
yeah.
and for lasers. If there's a laser.
I am. How did you know? Yeah. No. But I do understand your issue with them, because with a band like that, that's very experimental and very electronic, all you get is like just distorted electronic-y sounds and stuff. And sometimes that can be pretty overwhelming. But I mean, I think their beats and just watching their drummer, who was amazing.
That drummer was pretty badass.
He was awesome. Like, I couldn't stop moving. I mean, they were just a really fun band to watch. I'm really looking forward to seeing them again.
Now, another thing was that they had these really cool masks. I don't know if they were like ninja, not necessarily ninja masks.
Well, I actually did my research today, Turtle. Would you like to hear?
Dude, I've been wanting to know.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can get a drum roll real quick, because I've been wanting to know what the hell they were wearing. Hold on, let me get a drum roll.
They were Neanderthal masks. So yeah, I was researching, and I guess they want to kind of give off this impression of they're kind of like the Neanderthal meets the future, you know. Mm. So that was the point with the. They actually, when we saw them, they were wearing what they call the Milkman costume. Which
they dress up in like different costumes.
Well, no, they think they just primarily have two, which is one the Milkman costume was like the secondary one, and it's, you know, just a white shirt, white pants, and a black belt with a Neanderthal mask. But what they normally wear are NASA jumpsuits, like those orange jumpsuits that you see astronauts wearing.
Mm.
So that's normally what they wear. So I think they're kind of going for this like futuristic slash Stone Age kind of feel. But anyway, they were amazing.
Yeah, go check them out. And you know what? I think we're going to probably have them on.
Yeah, definitely.
Not soon, but like soon. Not like in the near future, but in
but
the distant.
But in the Neanderthal future.
I was thinking the distant future. The distant future.
You mean in the year 2000?
In the year 2000. Richard hung up with us because...
What a dick.
Yeah, I know. Thanks, Richard.
God.
He was really trying to like help us out. But I wanted to... he started a new blog, and I wanted to talk to him about that. But if we can't get him on... everything is going just spectacularly well. Maybe.
Yeah, and while we're getting him on, we should totally talk about the TV Buddhas at the smell.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't think we're gonna get, him anymore.
Screw him.
Okay, yeah, damn you, Richard. Let's talk about the TV Buddhas just real quick. I did an interview with them, and you're probably gonna. We're actually gonna play that next.
Mm-hmm.
But what was your opinion? You were actually the ones that you were actually the first to discover the TV Buddhas, and then bring them to me and everyone else.
We have a contact with Mr. Josh Bloom, who's kind of a promotional guy, and he's really cool.
He's always writing on your Facebook. I think you guys are like dating or
no,
something.
No, we're not.
Like
come on now. I love you, Josh. No, he just provides us with some really great music, and he's the primary the primary source for those free downloads, and they're just like some really. I remember the last time I was on the show when you called, and I mentioned that I really want to take advantage of these opportunities that we have to discover these smaller bands. So TV Buddhas, he gave us one of the songs, and I listened to it, and I thought this is like a really great original kind of punk element that would be really cool on the website. So I featured it, and I found out that they were playing at the Smell in LA, and so I kind of just was into going and checking them out, see what kind of live show they got going.
Now, for me, it was crazy because one of the first like internet bands that I really was drawn to was the Henry Clay people, and then when I finally got to see them and then meet them and talk with them, I was like, holy shit! Like I've known you since you were like a megabyte, And now I could see was it kind of like that for you too? Of like,
yeah, it was kind of cool. I mean, it's really good to be able to follow a band and just kind of like when you listen to music, you normally don't really get to see them that often, and then you get to meet them, and this was kind of like to the next level where it's like, oh, like that's right, I got in here to I'm scouting you, bitches. Like, but no, it was really fun to see them in their element, in their live element, and they were a really great performance.
Yeah, let's actually get into the interview with them, an exclusive with some really cool guys. This is
And Gal,
that's right, their drummer Mickey, who, by the way, and we talk about this, a fantastic drummer.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, I don't know where she has all that energy to beat everything.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't remember if it was mentioned in the interview, but her setup for the drums was just really interesting. Like, it's not your typical, like... bass drum, a couple toms, and a snare, and like a few cymbals. It's just like, she doesn't even have a bass drum. She just has a tom and a snare and like two cymbals. It's crazy.
I was like, okay.
Well, no, I mean, we're talking about the drummer, and she's a badass, and like, she's so weird that she has this like this interesting setup.
Sarah's looking at me like, oh my god, what do I do? What do I say?
What are you talking about?
you gave me that look like,
Whatever, you're just fucking with me on purpose, right?
I am.
Screw
okay.
you, go back in your shell.
Okay.
You in
let's take a listen to that interview. All the links for TV Buddhas will be on this show, so definitely check them out. But now let's get to know the TV Buddhas just a little bit more. More with them and more with our special guest, Sarah, right
screw
here.
You, I'm still pissed.
On the End of the Shell Show. Hey, what's up, everybody? Turtle here with Enter the Shell, and before me, I have the TV Buddhas. How's it going, guys?
Hey.
So,
hey, television.
So, check this out. You guys have been on tour now. You guys started, 28 days ago or so?
Right.
Next stop is going to be San Francisco, and is that going to conclude your guys' tour?
No, we're going all the way back to the East Coast, so we're going to go up to Seattle. And all the way back.
Yeah, we have one more
a lot
month
of Midwest
of touring, and then two more months in Europe. Yeah.
then back to New York, and then we're going to Europe. Am I repeating what you're saying?
Said.
And then because it's so repetitive. I mean, it's like, and then my life goes on and on, just like that.
We have like 20 more shows in the U.S. and then like a month and a half in Europe. Yeah. But I'm clearer than you are.
And you're not the voice.
It's not
of the
that
band,
important.
So. I'm nasally but clear.
Okay.
So, you guys, TV Buddhas, that basically means couch potato, or, you know, if you want to be, like, smart about it, like a painting or something, right?
Yeah, a sculpture, actually.
Yeah, you did your homework.
But, yeah.
Yeah, don't fuck around, guys. Speaking of TV, I know you're a big Office fan, Mickey, and, you know, I always wanted to know this, and that is, and we're, again, I know you guys watch the British and the American version. Who do you compare yourself to in the American version?
Wow, I didn't think I should compare myself
John
to
Krasinski.
Someone.
Yeah, you're a Jim. Yeah. No.
Maybe I'm Jim.
Yeah. I have suspicion that you're
like
in love
Andy.
With John Krasinski.
You're Michael.
Yeah. And who are you, Yuri?
I don't watch the show.
He's terrible.
I'm Oscar.
Yeah, I think she's Toby. Probably.
No, Uri is Toby.
What?
Uri is Toby.
I don't know. I don't even know how to answer that. I think it's just
it's like,
we're not
really,
any of
it's
those
really
people.
Question.
Have you guys been watching any TV while on tour? You guys have just been in a van, basically, right?
Yeah.
We're trying to watch like the Entourage now. But it's not working for us because like we're on tour most
and
of the time.
Don't like the new Vince.
Yeah,
so
the new Vince is kind of stuck watching. Up.
It's kind of messy.
Thing with the motorcycle. Yeah. I mean, I don't get it.
Well, it's Adrian Grenier. He's just trying to, you know, recapture his youth. Yeah. I think that's kind of where they're going with that. And they kind of ran out of things, you know, in that genre for him to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I love Ari, though.
He should have stayed like a loser a little bit and not start with the bicycle and the macho stuff.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't want to tell anyone what to do.
No, because and we only watched like 3 episodes, so don't spoil anything.
Yeah.
We're in behind.
We're behind all of
yeah,
the.
Yeah, maybe later
things.
He's gonna like turn it over and become the old Vince again.
Maybe
he's gonna be E.
So you guys came during this major heat wave here in Los Angeles.
You brought it with us. Actually.
You brought it with us?
Yeah.
All the way from Berlin?
No, like this tour is jinxed, so basically we just brought the bad
weather.
We
bring bad luck everywhere we go.
Yeah, let's talk about that real quick, about your bad luck. I've been watching your guys' video blogs.
Yeah.
And
commit suicide publicly at the end of this. Of the
not
end
publicly,
of the,
but
the last episode is us slashing each other's throats.
Can I get an enterthesshell.com plug in there? Would that be cool?
Maybe. It's going to be like viral insane.
You guys have been playing to, you know, some crowds of maybe one, maybe none.
Yeah.
This actually was a fantastic turnaround here at The Smell. What do you guys think of that so far?
We got a lot of Israeli friends here, and they owe us.
The Jewish mafia.
So they came, you know.
I did notice a lot of pagers, just so you know.
Yeah, and then you guys. And yeah, and but I don't know, LA is big, so at least some people should come, you know.
Has the LA crowd been receiving you very well?
Yeah, LA's like,
you
tell
me.
Well, we came out to see you guys specifically because, about a month ago, we released one of your guys' songs on our website, and it got a lot of hits, and people were very curious to know about you guys, and so were we. We wanted to know about you guys, too. So once we found out that you guys were going to be here at The Smell, we're like, all right, let's go. Let's pile in. Let's go. Let's see them. Let's go interview them and see what they have to say. No pressure or anything like that, by the way. I wanted to talk to you, Mickey, real quick. You're the drummer, and I was looking at your drum kit, and you, like, really abused that motherfucker like nobody's business. I was about to call the cops. As a matter of fact, one of your cymbals is actually turned, like, the other way around, right?
You punched it when you didn't. Oh, sorry, I just punched it.
Well, you know, see, now everyone's punching everything.
Okay, like I tried to explain before, somebody, like, on the first day of this tour, somebody stepped on this cymbal and turned it
watch
around. And we tried.
Because we tried to turn it around and
we
just impossible.
We don't understand how it
like
happened.
Four men
tried to turn it back to the right side, but they only trashed it more.
So I'm just going with it because I can't buy a new one right now. Yeah.
Have you been enjoying the sound that's been coming out of that?
I don't know. Maybe.
No.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you could say no. It's totally cool. You could be like, nah, fuck that.
I think it sounds smashy.
It sounds better than before, let me tell you that. I mean, it was a really cheap cymbal, and it sounds like much better now.
Flashy.
It's still bad.
Flashy. CRL.
Is it strange for Yuri? I know that they're a couple and they're married and stuff like that. So, you know, during those, like, you know, I'm not saying private times or anything like that. Do you just, like, walk away?
There are no private times.
And you think you're the unlucky ones, but, like, no, I got it wrong. The thing is that in a trio, like, every time, shut up, there's like two against one, and then they think that they get to be the one sometimes, but they don't. I'm always the one and they always against me.
You guys are basically like one big unit. You guys are a family. You guys are always on the road, touring. Do the lines ever blur between family and business when business, you know, comes down to it and you guys are a band?
There is no business in the States. We don't make any money, so.
But as far as the business of being a band, you know what I mean, and making decisions for the band, do the lines ever get blurred?
Everything is really blurry. Because, like, I quit the band all the time.
She quit like twice today.
Yeah,
every time she doesn't, she wanted a certain kind of coffee, she didn't get it. She was like, I quit the band.
I'm not that way.
You have to have your foam.
I have it on tape.
He's like, when I'm not doing my muffin kitchen stories, I'm gonna have to.
So impressive. More to come. More to come.
More to come. Yeah, I hope so. And now to just wow you guys even more, tell me about your guys' sneaker smell. Right, someone has really bad foot odor.
Yeah.
Right. Have you been like washing your feet or what's going on there? Tell
took it out here, and there was this homeless dude. He came over and he was like, he wanted money, and then I started to like kind of shake it around to get the stinky air out, and he was like, oh, and he went away. It actually repelled a homeless guy with my shoe.
That's good. You might have to sell that here in LA. You can make a lot of money.
Yeah, I bottle it. Like,
yeah, we think something is really wrong with his legs. I mean, with his feet. We think it has like black mold.
There is
on it.
A little bit of foot on my fungus. You know?
Let's talk about your guys' EP that's out right now. I know you guys recorded it with like a tape deck and just one microphone. And you guys kind of, you know, Sarah and I were listening to it in her car. And it brought back that vintage sound. And I was that like completely by accident, or was that what you guys were going for, that kind of garage studio sound?
Well, it was, I think we tried to record a rehearsal, kind of, and really have a record very quickly. And a friend of ours from France called Nico, he came over, he recorded us, and it came out really good. I mean, much more than I expected from one mic. And he
basically needed a recording because we went on tour and we wanted a recording of us three because they used to be a duo.
He suggested this method, and it turned out really nice, and we, of course, we like that vintage sound. That's like what we really like, so we were really happy to have that.
What's the plans now? Are you guys gonna record something else in that same process, or are you guys gonna try to outdo yourselves and, I don't know, get like a studio or something like that?
We got something in the middle. We already recorded in Israel
a new
album.
Yeah, in a small studio, and it was also with a friend, and we recorded that, and now we're gonna put that out next year, I think. Next year.
Was that a different process as far as like writing, because now, you know, you already have something out, and now you guys had that vintage sound, and was there anything that you guys wanted to like copy, or did you guys just want to kind of not copy but just move forward in the progress with the band?
Yeah, I think maybe just the lyrics should be really passionate. And we're trying to make the drumming, since the first record we did, we're trying to make it more and more simple, I guess. And the whole thing, we're trying to kind of simplify, I don't know, make it really, really basic.
Kind of like the Ramones. I know you guys, they're a big influence on you guys. How did the Ramones ever get to Tel Aviv, if you don't mind?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, where I'm from, nobody listens to the Ramones. But we found them kind of on tour. We were like, just started listening,
I mean,
like, record by record.
We knew them all the time, but we just like decided to really listen to them.
Seriously listened to them and read books, and then we like really got into them.
And to a lot of music from that era, so we were like really into that.
But Ramones is mainly what we're into.
Yeah, I noticed that you guys just keep on playing faster and faster, and that's what I love about the Ramones. See, like when they did their studio albums, they kind of they sound studio, they sound groomed, they sound slow, but then when they go out on a tour, you know, they're just completely fast, and you're just like, holy fucking shit, is this the same band? It's really
want to go to sleep real quick, so we're trying to play the shortest set.
To the house as fast as we can.
What can we expect with TV Buddhas now that you guys are here in the U.S.?
You can expect, I guess we're going to keep writing new songs on the road, because we're doing this vlog and we're putting in new songs, and like the depression is creating this kind of album. I think it's about the USA basically, and then yeah, that's what we'll do. We'll write a new album.
I'm editing a new video today.
Yeah,
I promise.
It's very strange that you guys, you know, you guys are a very, you know, close-knit unit, and you guys are in your van together. You guys basically tour together. You guys never escape from each other. What do you guys do to just either A, spend alone time away from, or just get away from each other, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Sleeping.
We don't. I mean, that's what makes us so crazy. I mean, we're really, like, fighting all the time, and I mean, sometimes we enjoy ourselves, but, like, we're fighting a lot.
Yeah. I really tried to this tour, like, in Europe, we were
asleep, I think.
No, but like at night, I try to, because I'm the friendliest of the three of us, I try to make friends and just not be around these two.
Have you met any girls?
I can't say.
Is that stranger? You're like, all right, guys, I gotta go to the van. No, you're not gonna go to the van. The sneaky, the sneakers are there.
Got I find my way.
Cool. Any questions for me? No, I'm just kidding. All right, guys. TV Buddhas is the name of your favorite band. Check them out. They got an album out and an album next year, right?
Yeah.
Yes, next year.
That's correct.
It's going to be a new album. Kind of the same. Loser punk, kind of.
It's not necessarily loser punk, it is just regular punk. I remember you were saying that you consider your band to be an average punk band. That's what you guys strive to be, an average punk band.
Nothing special.
Not really good, not really bad, just like
human.
Perfectly average.
Do you think you guys will strive for something more than just average?
Well, I'm not saying that somebody will listen to us and go like, that's an average band. I just want us to appeal to really average people.
We just don't
the
wow factor. I mean, we don't like to wow people, because
wowing is awful.
We're tired of all this
whoa,
I mean,
cool man,
we just want to listen to nice music, to good music, and that's it. That's what we mean by a normal
band. Yeah, we just
want to
make nice average music. In an artistic way, you know, but still. I just like nice music. I mean, I miss that, you know.
All right, guys. This has been Turtle, and as you can see, TV Buddhas. Catch them. You guys are still going to be playing for another month. And then, if not, catch them on their video blogs. They do a bunch of cool stuff. So, this is me, Turtle, for TV Buddhas. We are out of here. Later. It is the Enter the Shell show. And like I said before, Kai, she is on vacation, but we have her on the phone. Kai, I hate to interrupt your vacation, but I'm just dying to know of what's going on in the world of gossip and celebrity.
Woohoo! Hold on, let me put my mojito down just a second here. I know you're busy working, but I've still got all the latest celebrity juice, you know, via all my contacts. People have been calling, texting, emailing, and there's a lot going on in Hollywood, even if I'm not in Hollywood, which I might say. Do you have your sunscreen on?
I beyond have my sunscreen on. I'm not even leaving. That's how much I just don't want to be outside.
Like, did I just, like, time that perfectly or what? I left and literally everyone's calling telling me it's just hotter than balls everywhere. And I'm just like, wow, this is crazy.
And not only that, but let me just say you left at the perfect time because the Chargers and Seahawks played. And we
whooped them.
You didn't whoop them as much as though you just won, I think. I mean, three turnovers and an interception. I mean, I think we defeated ourselves.
Well, all I'm going to say is a win is a win, and we'll keep it at that. But,
we will. You're right there. A win is a win.
Seahawks are coming up strong. I've got a good feeling about this season. So all you smack talkers out there, you better watch yourself. Seahawks are coming back.
So
I know you're dying to hear what's going on in Hollyweird. And I've got some updates about your favorite chick, Lindsay Lohan. Are you ready for this?
Let's do it.
Big shocking news. She's checked herself back into rehab.
But see, this is what I don't get, and maybe you can explain this to me. We all knew she was going to be sentenced to jail and go back to jail for 30 more days, right?
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't that be considered rehab, really? I mean, she's in jail. She's not going to get any contact with anybody like that. Why would she check herself into rehab? So is the rehab going to be the new jail or something, or what's going on with that?
Well, I mean, she decided to, I think it was like either last night or just a couple of days ago that she decided to go back into rehab. She was just released from the Century Regional Detention Facility in Linwood, California. She had to pay like a $300,000 bail to get out last week for that. And, I mean, that's all part of her conditions, I think. You know, I don't think she's got the ankle bracelet on. I'm not sure about that, but I know that TMZ is just reporting that she's decided to just check herself back in. So maybe this time that she spent in the detention facility, she realized how screwed up she really is. I don't know.
What do you think? Well, this is what I think. I think no amount of rehabilitation is going to fix her. No amount of jail time is going to fix her. As long as when she gets out of these facilities, she's getting $1 million contracts to appear on TV and talk about, you know, life in prison. I think she's going to become kind of the prison expert for celebrities, and she'll be making money like that. As long as we keep on rewarding these celebrities, they're never going to get better. Do you feel the same way?
Oh my gosh, you know, it's funny. I saw a posting on Facebook from one of our Enter the Shell fans had posted a status update that said, you know, Lindsay Lohan is making headlines around the world because, you know, she's in jail. And then there was a list of like 100 names of soldiers that had been killed, you know, fighting overseas for us that never get any mention. You know what I mean? And it really does kind of bring to light this media frenzy and what we focus on and what we talk about. And I mean, it really is just so stupid. And it does piss me off. I actually heard some other reports that she was actually calling up like a bunch of like paparazzi agencies in Hollywood, reportedly saying that she would pose with her ankle bracelet on for $10,000.
Do you think that she can get the ankle bracelet sponsored? Maybe perhaps put some diamonds or something on like that? Think that's going to be the new fashion trend?
I think Enter the Shell should try to get some sponsorship on that ankle bracelet. We're gonna be worldwide, baby.
Good idea.
Write it down quick. Get Milo on the phone.
Milo,
okay. Well, enough about her. Enough about her, because her and Paris Hilton can go be best friends. I do have kind of some surprising news coming from your world of things. We're talking about George Lopez. And since you're a dirty little Mexican turtle, I thought maybe you would like to be enlightened with what's going on in his life. Apparently, George Lopez and his wife have decided to end their 17-year marriage.
Shut up. Are you serious?
No, and you know, it's crazy because I don't know if you remember this, but back in 2005, his wife Anne, she donated her kidney to him to give him life. And it was this huge thing about he'll never be able to pay her back, and she gave him the gift of life, and now it's like, deuces.
Yeah, a surprise, we're getting a divorce. I wonder if she's going to get half of that kidney back, or actually how that is going to go down, because that really is going to affect George Lopez. I mean, he was with his wife for so long, you know, and all of a sudden now it's like he's no longer with her. But good on him. You know what? I'm not going to talk shit about his wife or anything like that. She's probably a great individual, but I just never saw those two together. And part of me thinks that the only reason why he was with her for, you know, after the surgery was just because he's like, well, you know what? I'm going to throw you an extra few more years because, you know, they did that right when, you know, the George Lopez train was finally catching some steam.
Right.
And now it's like now everyone's fully on board with George Lopez. So now I think is a perfect time for him to leave his wife or whatever. You know, I don't know if he's leaving her or she's leaving him. It might be a mutual thing. You know, people grow apart.
Well, it is mutual. They did say that it was a mutual agreement. You know, they only have one child together, but I guess that they are, you know, still very committed to being, you know, dedicated parents, working together. And I think they've got, you know, business stuff that they're still going to continue with the Lopez Foundation that they have. So they're still going to be doing kind of that stuff. But I guess they're going to go their own separate ways. So George Lopez on the market, on the market.
Now, let me ask you this question. Do you find George Lopez attractive?
No, but his personality, I think, makes him pretty hot. I mean, any guy that can make me laugh until I snort, I mean, I'll do drinks and hang out with you. So, you know, on a physical note, if I saw George Lopez and he didn't open his mouth, not so much. But I think he's pretty awesome. Just he's got a lot going on. He's got one hell of a personality, and he's quite the entertainer. So
now here's the thing, Kai. You're kind of a slut. You've been around a while, you know. You kind of.
I love how you always try to just like up the ratings by like making me out to be like a dirty whore. I'll play along.
I'm like, look, people. She will sleep with anyone. All right.
You're gonna have to pay me a lot more money to be on this show.
Done. A free blowjob. No, I'm just kidding. So here's the thing, and I'm very curious about this. You said that, you know, if a guy has a really good personality, that you would date him, kind of like a George Lopez. You don't find him attractive, but you're more inclined to date him because of his personality. Do you think that would get tired after a while? Because I try to watch George Lopez Tonight, and it seems that the George Lopez there is just a little more over the top than the George Lopez on, you know, his old show. But he kind of always keeps on, you know, hitting that stereotype of the loud, you know, funny Mexican, but he kind of goes a little bit over the top, and I don't know, do you think you'd get tired of that after a while?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, here's the thing. I think personality is like 99% of it. I mean, you got to have that connection, you got to be able to make me laugh, but at the end of the day, I mean, let's be honest, we are animals, we are humans, we are whatever we are, and that physical attraction, I think it needs to be there. You know, it's not like I'm going to go date Sloth because he's funny. I think that you could take an average guy, slap a good personality and a great sense of humor on him, and that's going to up the ante a little bit. But besides that, I mean, nah, I could never do George Lopez, if that's what you're asking.
So what else is going on?
Okay, now, I know that we're not really supposed to talk politics, and we're not going to talk politics, but I did want to pull...
You remember the last time we talked politics?
Yeah,
back...
that was like drama for your mama. Yeah. That was no bueno. But President Obama making some music headlines, and I thought this would be appropriate for Enter the Shell. So no matter how you feel about President Barack Obama, I still think it's a little surprising to hear what this guy is telling Rolling Stone magazine that he has on his iPod playlist these days. He says that he's getting a little more gangster with his music, that he's got Nas and Lil Wayne on his iPod, and also like Jay-Z, but lots of props for Lil Wayne and stuff, and I thought that that was really funny.
Do you really think he has Lil Wayne? I mean, I know Lil Wayne, but I'm not a big fan. I'm not going to go, you know, look for him. Do you think Obama's just trying to get some street cred?
You know, I don't know. I mean, because I've heard in the past that he listened to Jay-Z.
Yeah, but Jay-Z now, and I'm curious about your opinion about this, but Jay-Z is a lot more tamer. His music is more of a mainstream.
And even his reputation with his lifestyle, like with Beyonce and stuff, it's just funny to me, like Lil Wayne is such a little gangster badass who's been in trouble and this and that, and it's just funny to like tie him and President Obama together, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I mean, hey, rock on. So if you're listening to Nas and Lil Wayne, chances are rock might be too. And that's that.
Yeah, so. I'm sure both of you guys are listening to him at the same time. I'm sure you've made a Pandora Lil Wayne radio station.
Hey, I'm going to need you to go put some sunblock on and shut the up.
So tell me, what have you been doing while on vacation other than just visiting Seattle? I know you're out there. Are you? Do you guys have a zoo? Are you going to the zoo or anything like that? I don't know.
Well, I'm all over the Pacific Northwest right now. Really, just taking advantage of time with the family, hanging out with the nieces and the nephews and the sister, and having a good old time. It's surprisingly, let me tell you, I can only imagine how hot it is in Los Angeles, because it is hot and sticky and humid up here, and it's never like that at all. So the West Coast is just like on fire right now.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And this is what I hate it. Like, I usually wear jeans, and like my balls just literally are dripping.
They're
and
like stuck together. Yeah,
not cool. And what's
mine are too.
What am I gonna do with you, Kat? I love it. Well, look, is that all the celebrity gossip news you have for me?
That's all the celebrity gossip, and then of course people are going to be gossiping about me and you that we have sticky balls.
Yeah, so, I think that's going to be Twittered about in Facebook for quite some time. It's going to haunt us, Kai.
And the fact that you like to pretend I'm a huge slut too, that's always fun.
Yeah,
I can't wait for my grandma and my parents to listen to this show. They're going to be so proud.
I'm pretending you're a major slut. Sure, Kai. Wink, wink. Over the
wink,
over the
wink. Board. I'm a slut for pay. Wait, is that prostitute? Wait. Anyways, yeah. So with that said, listen, you hold it down in Hollyweird for me. I'll be back next week, and we got a whole lot of wonderful things coming your way on the End of the Shell show this fall. So get ready.
Kai, you enjoy the rest of your vacation. And what we're going to do is we're going to take a real quick break. And when we come back, we'll have Sarah in, and she'll do the... See, you don't even get to do the demoralizer today.
That's horseshit.
I know. We should fax it or something.
Just make sure Sarah does it. I don't trust that you can do it.
Yeah. Okay. I will. Well, you enjoy your time out there. Stay cool. I'm sure you're prancing around in the smallest bikinis out there.
Absolutely. Small bikinis with a big butt.
I knew
That's
it.
That's how we roll.
All right, Kyle. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back right after this right here on the End of the Shell Show.
Hey, it's Jay from Julia C. Check out your favorite blogger, Sarah, on EnterTheShell.com.
It is the End of the Shell Show with special guest Sarah, and you do have a Twitter, by the way.
I do.
You finally caved in.
Don't even talk. No, yeah, it was a promotional decision, you know. But yes, I do have a Twitter. You can follow me at Sarah. That's S-A-R-A, no H, or I'll kill you. Sarah 4 ETS. So that's S-A-R-A-F-O-R-E-T-S. Write that down now.
Yeah, you want to make it even longer for people?
No, I think it'll be good.
That'll be good. So so you have all that. And but by the way, Artist of the Week, still going on strong. I know Kai couldn't be here to talk about that.
To grace us with her voice.
To grace us with her voice. But let's talk about the Artist of the Week, okay? The Artist of the Week, this Englishman has released two studio albums and is signed to XL, or is that extra large?
Right? It's XL.
It's XL Recordings. Sure. His grandfather is the famous author of the... What the... Who's it?
Hold on.
He's a famous author of books.
Yes.
How about
some
that?
Some sort of book. Let's see. Let me see what you're looking at there, Turtle.
I didn't know I was going to fuck up this much.
Gormenghast?
Yeah, of course. You know what?
Duh. Don't you know the Gormenghast books?
Well, you know what? I did buy the whole series. I saw them on PBS. You could buy the whole
did
thing.
Did you donate to KCET they sent you this giant encyclopedia of Gormenghast books?
Yeah, and I was like, finally, I can complete my collection. I got one when I was small, and I was missing the rest. So I was like, oh, let me get these other volumes. So anyway, his latest album has been a party vibe, has a party vibe to it. And you can always listen to Milo and Sarah dancing around the office singing it.
Yeah, this, I mean, we're not supposed to know who it is, right? No.
No.
No, so, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, who is this magnificent musician?
It's me.
It is Sarah for ETS. At Twitter. No. Find out this Friday. You'll find out this Friday on who the Artist of the Week is.
Yeah, and then so long as we're doing promerches, we got Richard's review. He's reviewing the album Lisbon by the indie band The Walkmen. So be sure to check that out. They're a pretty good.
I like The Walkmen. I like them a lot. I like The Walkmen, and I like Modest Mouse. I don't know if they're the, like, necessarily the same exact band. I always confuse them, but what's always great is I confuse them, but I'm always like, oh, well, I like them.
Yeah, you know
so
what?
It just works out.
Yeah, I have the same problem, but it's not with Modest Mouse. I always confuse the Walkmen with, I think they're called the Sound. No, not the Sounds. The Streets. I don't know why. I think it's because I was introduced to them by the same person at the same exact time. And so I always think of the Walkmen as being this, like, hip hop, like, rap, English, white dude rapping, but that's The Streets.
Now, for a change of pace, I usually read who Sarah's reviewing and her covers are, but since I have you, who are you going to be reviewing?
I don't know. I'm actually not writing a blog this week. I'm going to be working on my book called Turtle.
Turtle for ETS?
Yeah, Turtle for ETS at Twitter. No, well, okay, so this is what happened, all right? I can't stand Drake. But this kid is getting so much hype, and he's just all over the place, and he's, you know, being named as one of the best up-and-coming artists of this year. So I'm going to cave in. I got his album, so I'll review it for you. I know it's, like, super late, but you're going to read it, damn it, because you love me.
Is this his first album, or is this...
This is his first album. This is, like, his breakout album. I mean, you may remember him as Jimmy from Degrassi.
No, I don't remember. Yeah. You know, I always got Drake and Chris Brown confused for some reason.
Why? Because they're both Black Turtles?
No. I don't know. Like, don't they both dance?
No, Drake is like a rapper. Well, no, actually, I think that's why he's so big right now, is because he can rap and he can sing. But I don't think he dances. Chris Brown is like more, he can sing and he can dance, but he also beats women, so.
Yeah. Drake doesn't. Yeah.
No,
we
not
don't
that
know.
I know.
Yeah.
And then for my covers review, I'll be doing another classic. We've got Can't Take My Eyes Off of You, originally by Frankie Valli. And, you know, I'll be doing the cover. I'll be exploring Lauryn Hill's version of it, which is freaking amazing. She needs to release another album, like, stat.
Yeah, that was on her Miseducation?
Yep. The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
Of Lauryn Hill. And that album, I remember my brother, my sister, and I both had a copy of that album. And really cool album. I loved it. Let's make sure we get on top of that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I definitely will.
Yeah, I forgot what I was gonna. I got like I got a big fart barf. I was like, what? Fart barf? You know what? A lot of cool people out there, and so we're gonna hook you up, give you love. We're going to do some shout-outs, if you don't mind, Sarah, for ETS.
No, I mind.
Today's shout-outs go out to Jason Grohman and the Hoser.
Hey, what's up, Hoser?
The man.
The man.
The man. Tom Stimbridge, Wisdom, Jai Kai. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Mark Silva. Did I say that right? Mark Silva? Yeah. We got Richard Heinz?
Like the ketchup?
No, because that's Heinz. This is Heinz.
Oh, I got excited for a second.
Yeah, and Jennifer Wright, thank you guys so much for supporting us, for writing. You know, if you want a shout out, you can always email us, djturtle2rs@gmail, or at Enter the Shell. And then you can also, I was like, let me not give my personal one out.
Or say that it's your personal.
Yeah, or say, yeah. Just totally messing this up entirely. Right. I swear I'm a trained professional. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. So if you want to shout out, you know, write something on Facebook.
Or befriend me or follow me on Twitter.
Do you have any shout outs that you want to give out?
Yeah, I want to shout out Josh Bloom. That guy's awesome. I'd let him bloom my flower.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. speaking of which, I think it's Demoralizer 3000 time. The Shell, telephones, Neanderthal, TV Buddhas, Kanye, Tom Drum, Fart Barf, Lindsay Lohan, and Kai on vacation. Sarah at Twitter for ETS. That means it's done.
Oh, is that what that means?
Yeah. That means it's time for it. I'm not gonna do this. This is Sarah's actually first time doing this. She's gonna actually get the envelope and tell us the moral of today's show. So Sarah, if you'll just rip open up that envelope.
Oh.
And read us the moral of today's show.
Today's moral, kids. Fun fact. Female penguins have sex in exchange for pebbles to build nests. Well, you know what? Yeah, I think I found my Halloween costume turtle.
I would love to see that, by the way. As promised, we are going to leave you off with Libertine by...
Wait, I must interrupt you.
Of course.
We just got a text from Richard.
What? Oh.
Yeah, that fucker hung up on us. His text reads, "Holy shit, super embarrassed." Mind you, embarrassed is spelled wrong. "My phone died." Sure, Richard. We know you don't want to talk to us. Whatever. You're going to be our bitch boy for another month now for that.
Yeah, you're going to go get me water immediately. So, Sarah, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and of course, Jesse from the telephones. Awesome. Here's Libertine that we're going to leave you off with. And until next time, we are out of here.